So this is it. What we've all been waiting for. To go more deeply into the holy name. And as Samasundra Prabhu was describing, enter more deeply into our relationship with Nama Prabhu. 64 round day. In case I forget, I just want to say, ask a question and remind you. To ask a question is on the schedule. Sometimes it happens that when we have gatherings, retreats like this, not everybody is anticipating they'll complete 64 rounds, and so we schedule a class in the afternoon for those who are intending to chant 32 rounds. So can I see a show of hands, because we have to figure a place, or I could, so, and is this place going to be big enough? How many people will be chanting 32 rounds, not 64? Fine. Okay. So the place that's big enough is going to be the library reading room of the, what do you call it, sannyas residence. If you don't know where it is, ask, and it's just, you know, 3-minute walk over that way. Library reading room in that sannyas residence area. So then the reminder is, as soon as class is over and you stand up and go to breakfast, Mona, until the bell rings when 64 round period is over. So now you may finish before everybody else, respect the fact that others may not have finished yet, and maintain Mona until the schedule says, then you can have regular conversations. So that means, you know, as soon as you stand up, go over to breakfast, during breakfast, meditate on taking deeper shelter of Krishna's holy name. You can chant Krishna's holy name too. It's a little difficult to do that while you're taking prasadam, but you can, in your mind, you can do that. So, this class by design is going to be short and hopefully sweet. According to the topic, it's the glories of the holy name. So, the glories of the holy name are not short, but we'll make it short. Specifically, I was thinking to read little passages from Brihat Bhagavatamrita, where the Vishnu Dutas are discussing with Gopakumar about the glories of the holy name. And specifically, they're comparing the chanting of the holy name to the process of meditation. In our modern time, more and more, is my experience as I travel and meet people, more and more people are becoming interested in meditation. As you know, yoga was the first wave, and now it's go beyond the body and do the mind and feel being spiritual as doing some kind of meditation. And Gopakumar, he visited before he had in his dialogue with the Vishnu Dutas. Vishnu Dutas means the representatives of Lord Vishnu from the spiritual world. He was, and a kind arrangement was made for him to visit Tapaloka, where they're meditation fans. A little bit of background. There's, according to Vedic cosmology, there's 7 upper, 7 lower planets. 7 plus 7 is 14. So there's 14 planetary systems, and within each system there's multiple planets within that system and then another system. Just like one of the systems, planetary systems, is Swarga. It's not one planet. There's multiple heavenly planets. And then below Swarga Loka is Bhuvar Loka, and then below that is Bhuloka. That's where we are. We're just above, right in the middle. Because right in the middle is 7.5. So Bhuloka, Bhuvar Loka, Swarga Loka, Mahar Loka, Jana Loka, Kapha Loka is just below Brahma Loka. It's up there. And the residents in Tapa Loka, sorry for those of you that are married, it's brahmacharis and sannyasis only. But you can always take sannyas and go to Tapa Loka too. And they're in that place where there's celibacy. There's two things, primarily one thing, and that is meditation upon the personality of Godhead. I'm specifically thinking about describing this the way that I am because of this very, very beautiful and powerful presentation yesterday, the prayers of Haridas Thakur, where he is speaking about how Prahlad is protected by his remembrance of the Supreme Lord. Draupadi was protected by her remembrance of the Supreme Lord. Of course, she called, "Hey Govinda, Hey Krishna." So, but I want to make a distinction between protection, between remembrance that flows from hearing and chanting and remembering, from hearing and chanting of the glories of Krishna, the name of Krishna, etc. Remembrance from meditation, because both are fixing the mind. That's our discussion. What we've heard is those devotees who are total Vaishnavas, topmost Vaishnavas, and they're fixing their mind upon the Supreme Lord, the same thing that Krishna speaks of, manmana bhava madbhakto, is not the meditation of tapaloka. It's the meditation or the fixing the mind in remembrance of the object of attachment, Krishna. So, in Tapaloka, there's two main things. One is the residents there, they're engaged in practically non-stop meditation. And when they're meditating, the inspiration for their meditation is very much like Dhruva. They see the Supreme Lord within their heart. And they don't want to stop seeing the Supreme Lord within their heart, so they don't stop their meditation. The meditation goes on for a long, long, long time. When Gopa Kumar went there, he wanted to speak with somebody, but they were in meditation on the Supreme Lord within their heart, and it went on for a long, long time. And then they broke from their meditation, and then they did the second thing, which is very high philosophical discussion for some time. They took a little prasadam, and then they went back to meditation. They're really meditation fans. So when they began their discussion with Gopa Kumar, they were encouraging him, "What are you doing? You're going here and going there, looking for Madan Gopal. But meditation is the way to find him." In fact, they have this interesting logic. It says, even when you're seeing Madan Gopal, the seeing takes place first in the mind. So before the act of searching with your eyes for Madan Gopal, see him within your mind. Come on and join us. Enjoy unlimited happiness seeing Madan Gopal all the time within your heart. Come on. So he felt that was nice. But he stayed for a while, but it wasn't the same. Although he had never seen Madan Gopal, he just intuitively knew it wasn't the same. He didn't buy into the meditation program. And so he left Tapaloka, and he went to Brahmaloka, and he went to many other places. And later, the Vishnu Dutas, could we fix that ring back? The Vishnu Dutas knew of that discussion with Gopal Kumar, and so they congratulated him. Yay! And then they wanted to give their explanation of why chanting, so please remember these in case you encounter somebody that's a meditation fan. We can respect meditation as a bona fide process. Of course, meditating upon what is another thing. But this is a very nice section where chanting is superior. I'm just going to read like five sections from, it's a long passage, maybe 40, 45 pages, details and details. I'm just going to read some sections of that. That's the glories of the holy name. So here's the first little section where this is reiterating the premise of the Tapaloka meditators. Vishnu Dutas are speaking. Some think that remembering rather than chanting is the essential means of devotional practice. And these are devotees. The means that most effectively leads to prema for bhakti, this is their argument, in the form of chanting appears quickly and easily, and in only one sense, that of speech, which is not itself alive and conscious, and there's that which takes longer has got to be better, is part of the rationale. And that which is by utilization of the tongue, which is temporary, isn't as formidable as bringing one's attention simply to the form of the Lord, because the tongue is temporary. The other one is more enduring. That's their rationale. So here's purport. This was the opinion expressed by the masters of yoga and Tapaloka, that of all the forms of devotional service, the best is smarana, remembering. Kapalayana and others insisted that remembering the Lord rather than chanting his names is the most essential means of achieving prema. They reasoned that kirtan involves only one sense, that of speech, which is one of the karmendriyas, senses for performing work, working senses, an unconscious material entity, the senses. And since the kirtan process is perfected very quickly, its results must be less than that of smarana, because smarana is more difficult. The next verse, this is still their rationale, the Vishnu Dutas are explaining. Superior bhakti, in the form of remembering, they think, appears within the mind. That turbulent, frightful, and mighty chief of all the senses will experience that when we chant our 64 rounds. When, by serious efforts, the mind has been brought under control and fully purified. Commentary. Everyone has experienced that the mind is difficult to control. To subdue and purify it is a great achievement, because the mind is the ruler of the senses. When the mind is controlled, the functions of the senses, including kirtan, are also controlled. In the words of the mendicant from Avanti in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, this is Avanti Brahmana's story, 11th canto, he says, all the senses have been under the control of the mind since time immemorial, and the mind himself never comes under the sway of any other sense. He, mind, is stronger than the strongest, and his godlike power is fearsome. Therefore, anyone who can bring the mind under control becomes the master of the senses. So, in the opinion of the residents of Tapaloka, one can achieve the highest perfection by controlling one's mind and engaging it in remembrance of the Supreme Lord. So that's the first little section. That's the premise. Now, having appreciated Gopa Kumar's going beyond that recommendation and receiving the giving their congratulations, although he wasn't educated, he's just a young boy, but he just intuitively understood. So now they're giving some reasons, several reasons, why chanting is better. So this is the next section. But we consider the chanting to be alone the most excellent form of bhakti, better than remembering, which appears only in one's turbulent heart. For chanting harnesses not only the faculty of speech, which it engages directly, but also the mind and sense of hearing. And chanting helps not only the person practicing, but others as well. That's if you're chanting audibly, as we do in japa and kirtan, as opposed to inaudibly something within the mind. So here's the commentary. Smarana, according to the Vishnu Dutas, smarana is purely an internal function, but kirtan, which actively employs one's power of speech, affects both one's internal and external environments. Kirtan also acts on the mind, bringing it subconsciously into contact with all spiritual sensory functions. If this subtle contact were not established, the spirit soul could not awaken to his real life. So that's our theme. Awaken to our real life. Go home, where we belong. Go back to Krishna in Vrindavan. The transcendental sound of kirtan enters the ears on its own strength without any effort by the hearer. And thus, it benefits not only the chanter, but everyone who hears it, treating them all as its subservient dependents. The process of remembrance does not have that such a power. In fact, as long as the mind's fickle character has not changed, smarana cannot manifest itself fully. The chanchala effect of the mind. And when is that going to stop? When we realistically consider the relative value of smarana and kirtan, we find, therefore, that the difficulty in performing smarana does not make smarana more important. Next verse. Vishnu Dutas continue. If the sense of speech, which sets all the external and internal senses in motion, is brought under constant control, then the mind becomes stable and can properly engage in transcendental remembrance of the Lord. Remembrance thus develops as the fruit of chanting. That's Kirtaniya Sadahari, or one of the ways recommended for overcoming offenses consistently is constant chanting. Even where there's offense, constant chanting, constant chanting. So we'll, at least for the day, we'll have some constant chanting going on. And another Rupa Goswami reference is Iha Yasya Harer Dashe Karma Namana Sangira. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriest Sevan Mukhihi Jivadal Swayam Ivasparatyada. It's difficult to understand the personality of Godhead, but it's made possible by controlling the tongue. There's one devotee, won't mention his name, he found it difficult to control his tongue. He shared with me when he was on Sankirtan, he would sometimes go into a grocery store and pull out his Brahmin thread and offer everything. And then go and eat and gorge himself. When nobody was looking. And so he, you know, things like that would happen and he recognized it was not good. It was interfering with his bhakti. And so he visited the Bhaktivedanta archives and requested them to make a special, then it was, you know, a CD of verses that were that verse. Prabhupada spoke about that verse. There's lots and lots and lots of them. So it was a big, big CD or MP3 or whatever. It just instructed again and again and again the importance of controlling the tongue. For by controlling the tongue, one can control all the other senses. And then when all the other senses, including the mind, are controlled by chanting, you have to hear, the mind can then be controlled. And then you can understand Krishna. And otherwise not. Even one may be sincere without controlling just this one sense, tasting and vibrating, the two functions. So again and again, Prabhupada speaks on this. Very essential. Certainly connected to chanting. So then they go on and say a number of other things. And then this next section is, there's several verses, I'll just read one of them, where chanting most effectively delivers prema bhakti. And so here's the statement. The Sankirtan of Krishna's names is praised as the best and most powerful means to attain the treasure of Krishna prema. It is like a potent mantra that can attract precious objects from a distance. Now the commentary doesn't explain what are those examples of potent mantras that attract objects from a distance. Something like Prapti Siddhi. You can obtain something that's at a distance. So some mantras apparently have such capacity. Bring something that's from a distance just by mantra to where you are. But we heard yesterday from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur the explanation given in relation to the Ajamila story. And when he called Narayana, Lord Narayana heard, and Lord Narayana thought, oh, he's chanting my name. I must reciprocate. I must give him protection. So, what to speak of any more focused kind of chanting, even that kind of chanting, the Lord is there. So in the commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says two things. Listen carefully. It's an important distinction. The process of chanting itself is something that we do. And by accepting instructions to do so, we chant. And by contacting Nama Prabhu, or the holy name, we become freed from sins. But Haridas Thakur taught that becoming freed from sins is just a secondary effect of chanting. That's not the glories of the holy name. The glories of the holy name is that it awakens love of God. So what is that awakening of love of God? That's this other part. Matihi, the Supreme Lord, sees, oh, he's calling my name. I must come to protect him. Protect is not just, here comes a bully, or here comes the Yamadutas, so now I have to go protect him. Here comes some difficulty. I'll have to go to protect him. Not that. It's protect us from the onslaught of the material energy, the covering of the soul, that the ultimate reawakening of the soul's natural consciousness, not just the reactions of sins. Karmakanda can do that, or the prayaschitta processes of karmakanda can do that. But they can't awaken bhakti. So it's this internal potency of the personality of Godhead, Swarup Shakti, Radharani's mercy coming in contact with, contacting the soul and awakening the desire to serve. And in that awakening of the desire to serve, as it matures, it comes to the Prema Bhakti stage. And there's no greater gift than that. And the holy name, the statement being made, is its best. There isn't a better process than simply chanting Krishna's holy name. Not just overcome struggles and reactions to misdeeds, but awaken bhakti and quickly, as far as the time the living entity is spent wandering in the material world, unlimited amounts of time, quickly come to the stage of prema bhakti. Another one of the glories being cited by the Vishnu Dutas. Then another is not only the holy name does these things as their glories, but the agents of the Supreme Lord, the Vishnu Dutas, say to Gopakumar, we're going to personally help you. We're not alone. There's support from the name himself and the agents of the Supreme Lord. Here's what they say. By the power of bhakti arising from chanting, you will have many realizations, time and again. And for certain, you will conquer your most formidable obstacles. In all circumstances, be assured, we are your helpers. Vishnu Dutas, keep going. We'll help you. Commentary. Since devotees may have to endure formidable tests when practicing Nama Sankirtan, Gopakumar may doubt his fitness to take up the process. The visitors from Vaikuntha assured him, therefore, that he should not be doubtful and hesitant, but should begin Nama Sankirtan with all confidence. It is if he, Gopakumar, if he is worried that he cannot expect to succeed without the blessings of pure devotees, he should rest assured that the Vaikuntha Dutas will always be there to help him wherever he goes. He needs to understand, if he needs to understand anything philosophically or has any difficulties to overcome, they will give him the support he needs. And then, although devotees like Prahlad, the son of Kayadu, saw the Lord in their hearts, they always yearned to see him with their eyes. For this, the proof is that when they finally saw him, they felt special ecstasies. This is a comparison between seeing in the mind, saying Prahlad always saw the Lord within his mind, within his heart, because of his affection. Only when he saw the Lord standing before him, Dhruva is another example, then his ecstatic prema erupted. According to Sri Hari Bhakti Sudadaya, it was after Prahlad first saw Lord Srinidhi that Prahlad's pure love fully blossomed. So the chanting attracts the Lord to appear before one. Literally. And that's a whole discussion. But numbers of verses describe like that. We indicated some of them yesterday. But Krishna becomes so pleased, attracted by the chanting of the holy name, one who is chanting his name, that he, to reciprocate with such devotees, he sometimes appears before them. This is described in beautiful, not detail, but beautiful language of Bhakti Siddhanta. The Lord suddenly appears before the devotee's eyes, or in Madhurya Kandambani similarly. When one's heart becomes filled with genuine devotion, so proportion to the bhakti that one is carrying while we're chanting today, or 64 rounds, we'll feel something. But the something is, it's Krishna, not just me, I'm feeling something. It's being closer or less covered in our relationship with Krishna in the form of his holy name. So now here's the concluding statement, where the Vishnudutas say, dearer to the Lord than even his own beautiful form, his easily worshipped holy name benefits the entire world. Indeed, nothing is as full of nectar as the holy name of the Lord. The commentary in conclusion, the Vishnudutas say that they seize every opportunity to glorify Sri Bhagavan Nama. Sankirtan is all attractive, full with all power, beauty, and opulence. It exerts its powerful influence over anyone who takes part in it, anywhere, at any time. The Lord of Vaikuntha himself is more attracted to his holy name than his own supreme beauty. And to confirm this, there's a reference from the 11th canto, where Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, Uddhava Gita. Neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self, is as dear to me as you, because of Uddhava's spirit of devotion. The intimacy of the love of Uddhava is like that. The holy name of the Lord is incomparable. Nothing else can equal or surpass it. The holy name is the Lord's supreme blessing for the world's welfare, benefiting everyone, properly qualified or not, who serves it with any of the senses. It is easily worshipped, requiring only some movement of the tip of the tongue. And it is sa-rasa. Vishnudutas are describing the glory of the holy name that way. Full of rasa, a term that can be understood in several ways. The rest of the commentary is listing some of those several ways without going into them. We have the opportunity, by our founder Acharya's mercy, to have such a nice temple with very beautiful deities, the association of devotees, these transcendental messages, having been exposed to enlivening wonderful kirtan and messages from our exalted acharyas that are guiding us to direct, reorient our intention. Now I'm just going to summarize some of the points to help you give support during your 64 rounds. Where intention is very important. Intention can guide the action of the mind and the action of the senses. It's recognized by Krishna what our intention is. Although we don't have to say it, he knows what our intention is, and he'll respond accordingly. And if our attention wavers, we can refocus back to what our intention is. What do we wish our relationship with Krishna to be? Do we want to be back home in our original place where our heart hankers for to be in Vrindavan, in the land of Krishna, with Krishna, in a serving mood? If we can reconnect with that, the intention, then calling Krishna's name can certainly help us. We heard about this nice term, Bhaktisiddhanta calls it Drishta Vichar. Remember that one? Drishta Vichar indicates the change in position. Vichar means change. So where instead of being the seer, be the seen. Or Krishna is the one who's to be seen. And when we're calling to Krishna in that mood, he's at the center. That means false ego is being dissolved by the power of putting Krishna at the center, or the power of bhakti. And it's made possible if we have such a desire, and Krishna is very merciful. We're dependent upon Krishna's mercy in any case, so just acknowledge it. Instead of being independent-minded and fruitive workers and doers and getting things done, we're all familiar with that mentality. Through this chanting of the holy name, all of that can change. Doesn't mean you become a complacent, lazy person, let Krishna take care of everything. The mood of service is Krishna's will. We heard some of these nice descriptions of very exalted devotees, Maharaj Parikshit, Markandeya Rishi, Sudama Brahman, Sudama the florist, appealing for their relationship with Krishna to be always accessible, along with association of devotees and friendly, compassionate mood, loving mood towards all living entities. How wonderful. That's the spiritual world. And that's intention. And if we take up intention in the proper way, directing our consciousness towards the name of Krishna as not different than Krishna, and knowing that Krishna is hearing, he'll enter our heart, sit on the lotus of our heart, and reciprocate with us according to our particular rasa or regard for him. And all these wonderful, magical things are accessible just from this very simple process. Everyone can do. Children can do. I'm looking forward to hearing from some of our children that they chanted so many rounds. It was a wonderful experience, and it's one of the nicest things of japa retreats, because the devotees are together focusing on one thing. It carries everybody. Not by competition or achieving some glory, it just carries the heart. So I'll make a similar request as yesterday. Of course, the cold weather outside will make this probably easier. Try to stay together. That nice example of coals brought together will ignite and bring flame. So stay together and hear. If you need to go for a walk to stretch your legs or something, then feel free to do that. And then come back and you'll have the experience, wow, being in the association of nice devotees, chanting with a great intention and attention. It'll help your chanting. It'll help you go to experience things that otherwise it's not just a counting game, but it's very sweet. Okay, I'll end with that. And wish you all a happy journey. And speak to you again after the 64 rounds are over. See the Prabhupada key. Go and pay them in me.